The Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast is proud to be sponsored by Dr. Spork's 3D Terrain. From retro greenskin outposts to elven fortresses and obelisks, this is hands down the best nostalgic scenery you'll find out there, and all at stupidly reasonable prices. Check it out for yourself by heading over to bedroombattlefields.com/spork, that's S-P-O-R-K, and turn your tabletop into a scene from White Dwarf circa 1994. Andy Chambers not included. Brought to you by bedroombattlefields.com, this is the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. On this episode of the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast, I'm joined by someone who you'll consistently find posting pictures of nostalgically and beautifully painted miniatures over in the Bedroom Battlefields Discord. It's Ted from Sweden, and we begin this week by talking about terrain.
Over on the Crown of Command Discord, there is a summer terrain challenge, Summer of Scenery, I think it was called. Run by TJ from the Forces of Fantasy podcast. So I'm using that as an excuse to finish off some houses that I had already started building. So now I'm trying to finish them off. I'm making a replica of the 5th edition house from the Warhammer Fantasy 5th edition starter box. You know, the house with the small shed next to it. So I'm working on that right now.
So is everything you make presumably aimed at like getting it on the table at some point to play, or is it something you just do for the sake of putting it together?
I think more of the latter. I'm not really that much of a player nowadays. I'm more of a painter and builder. So it's more enjoying the process and seeing the finished result, I think. And also I find it quite fun to set up, like small dioramas and taking photographs.
Yeah, I've noticed in the Discord, like, you seem to put quite a lot into your pictures. Like, you're a really, really good painter, but also you build a scene around the miniatures once they're finished as well. So like you're saying, that must be quite a creative interest of yours then.
Yeah, probably the thing I enjoy the most, if I'm honest, it's the terrain building, because, if you have a miniature, you're pretty constrained by the miniature. You know how it should look and you paint it. But when it comes to scenery, you're more free. You can do what you want and come up with creative solutions. And I've always enjoyed finding different bits and bobs and thinking, how can I use this for terrain? This looks like a window or something like that. I can use it as a pipe or, DIY stuff.
What about some of the stuff that you've painted recently? Like, I saw you had some classic Blood Angels on the go.
Yeah, that's right. I'm currently in the Cowabunga painting challenge that usually runs every year. It's for 2nd edition 40K. So this year I'm doing a Blood Angels force for 2nd edition. So it's, all the bright red colors and lots of back banners.
You definitely paint in that kind of like nostalgic style. What actual paints are you using to put on the miniatures?
In this case, I wanted to try out the Nostalgia 94 paints from War Colors. So I ordered the complete set of those paints during Black Friday week last year. They had a sale, so I thought, now's the time to get those. So I wanted to really go for the bright 90s, heavy metal style on these. So I I wanted to make them as bright as possible. And yeah, you know, starting out from a white undercoat and really using a lot of layers and highlights.
How have you found that nostalgia range? Do you find it pretty accurate to the old hex pots back in the day?
I did have those hex pots when I started out. I still have a few, actually, three or four left that's still working. They are a bit thin, I think. So they don't cover very well on the Blood Angels. When I'm base coating with the red, I have to use like three layers or something to get an even coat. So it's it takes a lot of time. They are good if you're doing this style of painting, I think, when you're using lots of layers, thin layers. But I wouldn't recommend them if you want to paint quickly and get a lot of coverage. They're not really good at that, I think.
What paints do you think are good at that then?
I usually paint with the Citadel paints, and I would have to say they are pretty good at coverage generally, most of the paints. Some are a bit more translucent, but mostly they cover very well. But at the same time, they are a bit more dull in their color, you know. It's more gray in them, and that's probably why they cover so well. But they are a bit more, a bit duller than, for example, the Nostalgia paints.
Yeah. Looking back, because, I mean, you talked about having those hex pots, so let's go back to the very origins of your hobby. How did that kind of start for you?
I've always been into fantasy. My older brother is probably my main influence. He's 5 years older, and he started with, role-playing games in the 80s. The Swedish role-playing game, Dragons and Demons. So it's kind of similar to Dungeons and Dragons, but not exactly. But it was a very big thing here in Sweden in the 80s. Everyone did role-playing games because they sold it in toy stores, so it was everywhere. So he started with that, and he let me join him and his friends. Though I was, quite small at the time, so I didn't understand everything, of course, but I knew I loved fantasy. And then I started building, Airfix kits, the airplanes in the, must have been early 90s, mainly World War II planes. So I had experience with building models and painting, those Humbrol enamel paints, the small metal pots that you had to use thinner with, so they weren't water-based, so it was kind of a hassle. I must have been 15 at the time, in 1996, so my brother had moved away to the nearest town, and just around the corner from where he lived was a small shop that sold, among other things, Warhammer. So it was, they also had hockey cards, that was big in the 90s, and also electric guitars. So it was quite the place, as you can imagine. It was a lot of rocker guys, and so it was a big mix of people coming into that store. It was a great place. So he found out about Warhammer, and this was just as the fifth edition box of Warhammer Fantasy was coming out, the one with Bretonians and Lizardmen. So he sort of suggested that we get the starting box and split it and start playing. So that we did. and he was interested in the Bretonians, so he got those, and I got the Lizardmen. So yeah, that's how it started.
With the fifth edition set, because I had fourth edition, but then I remember a pal at school getting the fifth edition set, and it was my kind of first experience of a big new release like that, because when I came in, it was like, you know, second edition 40K had just released, and you had Warhammer Fantasy in place. So this was like the first time I saw, like, they made another version of this. Looking back at that game, was there ever, like, did they ever explain what had happened to bring Bretonnia and the Lizardmen together? Like, what was going on with that background, if there was one at all?
There was nothing in the box itself, so there were no, like, here's a small campaign or something like that explaining why these are fighting or so. So you were just left to your own imagination, I guess. But they, in the White Dwarf magazine, that was released, I think, 2 months after the release of the box, there actually was a small campaign using just the forces from the box, and there were some scenarios explaining why the Bretonians were in the Lizardmen home land in Lustria and why they were fighting. So yeah, I think that should have been included in the box, if I'm honest. Would have helped.
It definitely never bothered us or even crossed our mind at the time, because looking back, we would set up, you know, I'm saying a table, it was generally the floor we were playing on, but whoever took charge of the Bretonians would have, like, the Battlemaster's castle and the cottage and stuff. So you've got, like, very Bretonian adjacent terrain on that side of the table.
Yeah.
And then on the Lizardman side, we had, like, palm trees and we made some jungle stuff. So it was like, it was like almost the two lands met, like, on a border, which obviously isn't the case, but it didn't bother us at the time, certainly. So,
yeah, and from that on, well, I wasn't really interested in the Lizardmen after a while, so I started with orcs and goblins and started collecting those. So that was probably my main army in fifth edition.
What was it about orcs and goblins that appealed to you?
I mean, probably the fantasy background from role-playing games and such. I mean, orcs were always there, and they were always like this opponents of the heroes. And but they're very different in Warhammer Fantasy than in the role-playing games. Not as completely evil as in the role-playing games. They're more like, at that time at least, they were more like a comic relief sort of force, but I don't know. I really enjoyed the mix of units. I think it's, you know, they had the orcs, they had the black orcs, they had the goblins, they had the night goblins and forest goblins and trolls and giants, and, you know, all these creatures coming together like a horde. I think that appealed to me, like this diverse force of different monsters. I've always liked monsters and the evil guys, I guess.
Yeah, I've heard the odd meme or joke as well that, like, they're the only, I say race, like, you know, the goblinoids, that they're the only race in the Warhammer world that are truly happy, aren't they? So
yeah, as long as they get to fight.
Yeah. So, did you stick with Warhammer Fantasy only, or did you venture out into some of the other games?
I did move on. I did collect Dark Elves as well, more evil guys. This must have been 98, 99, something like that. And then I think around the time when 6th edition came out, no, this must have been a bit earlier, I sort of got into 40K with the release of 3rd edition in 98. So I got the rule book and I, slowly started to collect some Space Marines And my brother, so he moved away for university at that time, so we weren't playing fantasy. So I sort of moved into 40K instead.
Parsec's Diary is an audio journal bonus series on Patreon, chronicling the adventures of my five Parsecs from home crew, the Lucky Strikes. Follow this beleaguered gang of criminal scum as they're pursued around the galaxy by lethal cyborgs, xenomorphs, and budget ale-inspired bounty hunters. Parsec's Diary is available now on patreon.com/bedroombattlefields. That's patreon.com/bedroombattlefields. And now, back to the show. So you say Space Marines there, is that the first time you collected, and I'm using air quotes here, good guys?
I guess, if you don't count the lizard, that's the good guys. But yeah, probably Space Marines, yes.
And was that a Blood Angels chapter you went with?
It was, actually. It was Blood Angels, but only for a very short time, because then the Battle for Armageddon came out in 2000, I think, and there was the Salamanders chapter, you know, the green ones, and I just, those are for me. So I repainted all my Blood Angels as Salamanders instead.
So, did you strip them? Or did
no,
you
I didn't. I just painted over the red.
It's the way to go. Is there something about green that you like, painting the color green?
So it seems that way. Yeah, green and red, probably.
So were you playing often in these in the 90s?
I mean, fantasy, I mostly played with my brother at home. And I did take part in a tournament, actually, in the local store, the guitar store, where I took my Dark Elves. I think I did pretty well, sort of in the upper half, at least. So I wasn't too ashamed of my results in that. But, yeah, you know, that was the first time I encountered, like, you know, power gamers. Because there were a lot of those. I was more of, yeah, look at pictures in White Dwarf. Yeah, this is how an army should look. One unit of those, one unit of those, you know. And then you came up against guys that did not reason that way. They wanted the most powerful stuff. And, you know, three men and 15 way watchers in a wood in the center of the table, shooting everything. Yeah, you know. So I lost badly for a few games. So that was an encounter with another side of the hobby, I think.
Yeah, I take it, like, as much as it sounds like you put in a good showing despite being a narrative player, but
yeah,
were you never really tempted to go back and do that again then?
As it happened, no more fantasy tournaments. But then I continued with Third edition 40K and fourth edition. Those were the two editions that I played the most in. I recruited my cousin into the game as well, so I had an opponent nearby. So he started collecting the Tau when they came out in 02, must have been. So we played a lot at home. So he was my regular opponent. So we had a lot of fun with that. But I also went to, I think, two tournaments, or maybe not tournaments is a strong word, but a local arranged by the store. I mean, like a day, games day with, yeah, there were a ranking, of course. But so that's my experience. But I didn't do too badly, I guess. But yeah. I wasn't that much of a player. I didn't take the most efficient stuff, you know, like some others. But
did you play any of the additional games, you know, Blood Bowl, Man of War, Necromunda, Mordheim, anything like that?
Blood Bowl we had as well. I had the orcs, of course.
Naturally.
And we played a few games, but it was never something we did a lot with. But I didn't really enjoy it that much. Probably not my favorite game, but yeah, a bit of fun at times. But yeah, and then Gorka Morka, you remember that one?
Yeah, orcs.
yeah, more orcs, more green. So we got that one as well. We actually won a painting competition in the store. So they used to have these really generous competitions. So if you won, you got to select one item from the store, no restrictions. So we got the Gorka Morka box just as it was released in 97, I think, October. Yeah, must have been there. So me and my brother played that for quite a while, and that was really fun. That was a really fun game, I think. But yeah, they didn't support it for a very long time, so it kind of petered out after a while. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of petering out, did you peter out from the hobby at any point?
I know that a lot of people do, but I never really did. I never left completely. I had a sort of a small dip, maybe around the turn of the millennium, so 99, 2000, around there. And then it picked up again when my cousin, when we started going about in 40K. So it was a very, very small dip. And I never really left, but yeah, that's as close as it comes, maybe. But since then, I've always, some periods have been more active, of course, and less activity, but I've always had something to paint, more or less.
Have you always had a game that you're not necessarily always playing, but been focused on building or painting for throughout the eras? Like if we go to the 2000s, the mid 2000s, for example, to the late 2000s, how would that kind of look for you, hobby wise?
At that time, it would have been 40K. So I think fourth edition was in 2004. That was, we played a lot, my cousin and I, during fourth. And then, when the next edition came out in 2008, then we sort of, we moved on, I guess. We didn't play a lot after that. We kind of lost interest. We had a few games here and there, but not like we did in the earlier part of the decade. So, but at that time I painted a lot for different armies. So I started with the Salamanders, and then I had a Necron army, and then a Chaos Space Marine army. And Eldar. So I tried a little of everything.
What about as we move into the next decade then, from 2010 onwards?
That was the early, the 2010s. I was, getting married and starting family. So it was on the back burner, I think, for the first 5 years or so, until 2015, perhaps. I did some painting and so on, but I wasn't super active. We did play one game a year, my cousin and I, maybe, during the summer breaks, during vacations. We usually got together and play 40K, but not on a regular basis. And I guess when they blew up the old world, I sort of couldn't believe what they did. It kind of pissed me off a bit, to be honest. I mean, it was still my first love, so to speak, in the hobby, in the old world. I've always enjoyed the setting. And then, so I thought, well, I'm going to preserve a part of that world. So I started collecting fantasy again. My interest in 40K had sort of died down by then. So I wanted something else. So I returned to the old world and started collecting older miniatures. So the Chaos Dwarf army had its origins back then. I started picking up miniatures here and there.
Were you aware at that point that, you know, the old hammer movement was a thing?
Probably not at that time, but I started joining different Facebook groups during that time, and like the Middle Hammer one, and I noticed there was still a lot of interest in these old games and miniatures. And you know, when you see others excited for it, you get excited yourself, and sort of it fueled my interest as well. And then I discovered the Crown of Command community in, must have been 2020, around there.
What were your thoughts when you found the Crown of Command and, you know, the community that was grown around it?
Well, I kind of felt that, I've found my people, my tribe, more or less. Lots of people enjoying the old games, and most seem very reasonable people and not concerned with fighting about the latest rules updates from Games Workshop. And with the older games, the rules are what they are set, so not much to argue about. So I think that's one contributing factor, and I guess also that's the people tend to be older and more mature in some ways, maybe not in others, but
if we look at that period then from 2020 onwards, you've talked about your Chaos Dwarfs, you've talked about the Blood Angels. What other projects have you had on the go in that period?
So this would be the era of the painting challenges, I would probably call it, because the first Crown of Command, the Call of the Crown painting challenge started in, the autumn of 2020, and I hopped on that one with my Chaos Dwarfs. And I really found it helped me get things done and really get to painting. And it helped me stay motivated, uploading your finished miniatures and hear and see other people comment on them. And so it drives you onwards, I found. And I continued on I have been in every Call of the Crown painting challenge since this. I think, was it the fourth one, the last one? I can't remember. Fourth or fifth. And I guess there's a new one coming up in October, so we'll see if I join again. Now it feels like I can't quit because I've been in everyone.
Do you feel that involvement in painting challenges has improved your painting?
Yeah, for sure. Really with this Blood Angels I'm doing right now, I feel I've really improved my painting, and I would probably say these are my best work so far. Obviously I don't think they're that great, but compared to my earlier stuff, I think I've probably my best work. So I think I've improved a lot.
Do you ever paint any orcs these days?
I did the last painting challenge. Last year I was actually in three painting challenges at the same time. I wouldn't recommend that. So I did, I think I did Lizard Men for the Call of the Crown, and then there was also a Gathering of Mighty Painters part two. There I did a small orc and goblin force with the fourth edition miniatures. And I was also doing the Cowabunga challenge with Chaos Space Marines. So, yeah. I don't know how I managed, but I did. So some orcs still.
Yeah. Hard habit to break.
Yeah.
At time of recording, we're pretty much halfway through 2026. What are some of the things that you would like to have done by the end of the year?
I would like to finish off some terrain pieces that I've been working on. I did a river last summer, but I didn't finish the water on it, just did the banks. So I would like to finish that and also do more of my my spruce trees that I've done a few. They're sort of in a realistic style, so and they take a lot of time to do. So I want to do some of those this summer. And also, I don't have any like project. Yeah, maybe I would like to start my epic 40k Space Marine force that I never get around to, but hopefully this year.
Is that a scale you've ever painted before?
No, it isn't, and maybe that's why I'm hesitant to get started, because I don't really know how to tackle it. I was thinking about going with contrast paints. I haven't used any contrast paints so far, but I'd like to give them a go. And I've heard that they should be good for the epic scale.
Has that scale appealed to you for a wee while then? That's kind of caught your eye?
Yeah, maybe. It was when the Epic 40K box came out in 97. It was just as I started out, and it looked appealing to me, but I never got anything for it back then. But I've always had that in the back of my head. It would be cool to try out with larger armies, and you can have like the terrain, you can scale it down, and you can have several woods and maybe a small town, and you can do more with the terrain, because in 28 millimeter you are kind of restricted in space on a normal table, so you can do more different kinds of terrain, I think.
It's been really good to chat, Ted. I appreciate your time this morning. Where should the listener go to keep up with you or get in touch?
I have an Instagram, which is oddgitshut. So you could probably find me there. It's not super active, but I tend to put out my finished models at least.
Lovely stuff. Well, thank you again for your time, and I look forward to keeping up with you on the Discord as well with your more of your great pictures and finished works.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for listening to this episode of the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. If you enjoy the show, then please do share it with someone else you think might enjoy it too. And be sure to check out our Discord community of like-minded hobbyists, which you could find at bedroombattlefields.com/Discord. It'd be great to see you in there.